This is Desiree Scales.
And Sander Bean.
High Velocity Radio.
Business Radio X. I was waiting for you to finish.
It's been a while since you guys have been in the studio.
I know it has.
It's okay. That's okay, because we're gonna get it together one of these days. So Sander.
Yes.
Last week, where were you? We were talking about you behind the mic.
You were listening, though, of course.
Right? I was listening, and actually, I was so far away, I was out of this time zone. I was on the West Coast. I was
working
hard. Yes, so I didn't have a chance to dial in, but I will be listening to the show. I'm going to make a point of seeing how it went.
Yeah, it went really well.
Great,
and we're glad you're back.
It's great to have you back too. We haven't seen each other in a while.
I know. It's funny. It's good to be back. So we've got a great guest with us today. We've got John Lawson, old friend of mine. We haven't seen each other in a while, but I follow him online. He's the founder of Colder Ice Media and a new author of Kick Beep, because I don't know if I can say it.
You can. No FCC guidelines here. We're on the internet. They haven't locked down the internet.
Okay, Kick Ass Social Commerce for Epreneurs. And very excited about having him today. John taught me how powerful eBay can really be and now has brought this into the new media world, social media. Can't wait to hear more about that. And so you've got Mixergy calling you a power seller. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I mean, you got to take some of the good parts of an interview and then, you know, break them out.
Yep.
But we did an interview with the folks at Mixergy, and it was really fantastic.
Wow.
So, you know, one of the things is that, like you said, the eBay thing, to hear the story of somebody that's done millions of dollars in sales on, you know, platforms like eBay and Amazon.
Yeah.
That was new for that actual, you know, market, those people that were listening. So that was fun.
And you have affected how other people sell online. You're a legend, you know, in this space.
Man,
no, you are.
Whatever.
I love it.
They just think I'm cute.
Love it.
No, but I mean, you know, one of the things I think that I did do mm-hmm. was one of the I had come from a background where I was in consulting.
Mm-hmm.
I worked for Accenture for many years, and once I actually walked away from that to do eBay full time, it was very hard for me not being in that office environment anymore, and I had nobody to talk to.
Yeah.
So social kind of came and saved me from going crazy. So I just turned the camera on for, you know, YouTube and started talking out to the camera about things that were issues, concerns, you know, things I wanted to learn more about in e-commerce. And all of a sudden, it resonated with all those other people that were sitting at home by themselves.
Wow.
And that's, you know, I think that was the influential part.
Yeah, exactly.
Create your own ecosystem, right?
Absolutely, yep. You know, absolutely, because it's out there.
Mm-hmm.
It's out there. It's just about you grabbing it.
Right. Mm-hmm. So tell us about that start. It's a real, you know, rags to riches. We hear that phrase all the time. Tell us about that story.
Well, I mean, it was absolutely a rags to riches, because if I think back, I was, you know, this is like early 2000, 2001. And if you remember, the hot thing to do was flip houses.
Yeah.
You would talk to people and, I'm flipping a house. And, oh, you're flipping a house? You ain't flipped a house? I made 10 grand. I'm like, well, dang, I got to get in.
Yeah.
So I bought me a house down on the best part of Atlanta, right on the corner of Joseph E. Lowry and Martin Luther King.
Oh, wow.
Now, let me just tell you, when two black people got a street named after them on that corner, it's never the best corner in any city. But it was supposed to be turning around, and I bought that house. And unfortunately, I was not very active in it. I thought it was going to happen by itself. So I bought the house, got the loan, started doing the revamp.
Right.
Had a friend or a partner that was supposed to be watching everything. I go through the house walkthrough, and what was supposed to be a 3-bedroom, 1-bath was a 2-bedroom, 2-bath. And if you don't know the difference between what you can get for rent on a 3-bedroom versus a 2-bedroom is hundreds of dollars.
Right.
And I couldn't make the mortgage payment on it.
Mm, interesting.
So I was about to go bankrupt.
Uh-huh.
And I had started the bankruptcy process, literally filled out all the paper, was going to take it back to my lawyer to file. And I went away on a vacation because I had already paid for the vacation like 6-8 months earlier.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So this is before, you know, I wasn't being totally irresponsible, you know. So I went away. And while I was away, I kept hearing, you know, or I kept getting notifications in my email that something sold on eBay. Mm-hmm. And basically, it was from that that I made and met my next month's, you know, mortgage payment.
Right.
And never really looked back.
Wow.
Never looked back.
What a cool story.
Yeah, I kind of saved my life.
Right. So then you really became the expert at that mm-hmm. platform.
Yeah.
And that really drove everything that you're doing today.
Kind of, yeah. I mean, maybe if it wasn't for that, there wouldn't be anything else to talk about, I guess,
yeah.
you know, because, yeah, and that's one of the things is you've got to think about what you want to do. And I knew I always wanted to do something other than work for somebody else.
Yeah.
So once I found, like, dude, I can do this, then the entrepreneur took over, and I just grew that thing.
So you said something really interesting, and it was you turned the camera on.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Let's talk about the power of that of video
mm-hmm.
and what you found there, because I don't think entrepreneurs get how powerful video is.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that.
Fantastic. I mean, I think one of my claims to fame, like the first time I ever spoke in front of an audience, was literally because of this one video I did. And I used to sell bandanas. Nothing special, just regular old paisley bandanas, all of these bandanas. And I got questions from I'm trying to figure out how to put it. John talks very straight, so I'm going to tell
yeah.
you very straight.
Yeah.
All right? So I used to sell the bandanas for the black people.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
So I put it up on eBay thinking that the brothers was going to be buying it, and what ended up happening is all of Middle America started buying. And the question they wanted to know at this time, remember this is early part of the, you know, the decade, was, you know, how to fold a bandana like Tupac.
Right.
Because they wanted to look like you. So he's over here nodding,
yeah,
right?
I love it.
So I used to get this question all the time, and I got tired of answering the question.
Yeah.
So I pulled out my little 1 megapixel
yeah.
video camera. Remember the first ones, man. And I shot this video on how to fold a bandana.
Wow.
And if you look right now on YouTube, if you do how to fold a bandana, that video is probably 1, 2, or 3 somewhere in there. And it's got over 260,000 views.
Wow.
Who would have thought that many people needed it? And then fold the bandana.
Yes, exactly. But I unearthed the secret to how do you use YouTube.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, it's like answer your most asked questions, do a video on the top 3 to 5 of those, and bam, people are going to resonate with that. Somebody in your audience is going to find that helpful, and they're going to share it with other people.
Well, you're going to grab all the market share for it, too, is what you did.
Yeah, yeah,
I mean, 260,000 people looking at a bandana folding.
It is the number one bandana folding.
You've got it. Yeah. No doubt about it.
Yeah.
I love that story, John.
Yeah,
thanks for
cool.
sharing it.
Well, where did it go from there? I'm curious. So then, okay, cool. So that exploded, and how did you extrapolate from there? What was the next step with video?
You know what? At the time, we were getting all these views, and we were selling well,
mm-hmm.
but we couldn't put A and B together.
Mm.
So it wasn't until the last 2 or 3 years where YouTube actually turned analytics on.
Ah.
Okay, so now you got real deep analytics. But what they did is when they turned it on YouTube, it let us see even further back in history. So I can see the history now, and I can track actual transactions that came from that video.
Wow.
So we've got tens of thousands of actual transactions that came simply from people watching that one video.
Okay.
You know, so that's kind of cool. But I guess another to what you were asking as well, from that, I started doing my videos and talking to other people about e-commerce and got a pretty huge following from that.
Yeah.
So I guess that leads to the book then, right? I mean,
yeah.
we can talk about the book or?
Sure, we can talk about the book. Because that's definitely one of the stories in the book about YouTube and that YouTube, you know, platform or channel.
Is this why you decided to write the book, kind of because you were thinking?
No, I mean, I speak a lot on social media in terms of, you know, I've been doing that for, you know, like the last 5 years, been flying all around the world talking about social commerce. But I think the thing that made me say, okay, I'm going to write a book, was after listening to all the other people talk, and I realized that I still had something that those guys weren't necessarily relating to.
Yeah.
It was about, you know, becoming popular. I don't care about the likes. I don't want to be popular. Yeah. Personally, I want to hear the cash register go cha-ching, you know? And so my book was, or my desire was to write a book about social that didn't talk about social media, but talked about the commerce behind social media. So right. That's how we came up with the title, you know, and the whole concept.
And how to help out, and it says e-preneurs on here, not entrepreneurs, but e-preneurs. So is that, you know, just entrepreneurs that are in the e-space?
Yeah, or? You know, you gotta ask the publisher about that. That was one of those things, you know, and it's funny. I learned a lesson from who's the guy that did the movie director that does all the bloody movies?
Oh, my gosh.
That's a tough one. You have to give me a movie.
I know, right.
Pulp Fiction.
Yeah. Tarantino.
Quentin Tarantino.
Tarantino. Yes. Tarantino. Yes. I learned a lesson from Tarantino. Tarantino said, if you want, he said, like there's a scene in Pulp Fiction where it's a pretty bloody scene. I mean, the guy has got his head blown off and all this kind of stuff, right? And it was probably one of the biggest things that people had seen on the screen. Blood wise.
Graphic.
So yeah, it was pretty graphic. And it was like, how did you get that through? He said, because I had another scene that didn't make it that was way worse. So, you know? So my fight with the kick ass on the title was to have something that was really objectionable. So
you had some concessions.
Right. Here. So the concession was for them, okay, if you want to make it for e-preneurs, fine.
Right.
You know, I don't even know what an e-preneur is, but I get it. It was like for electronic-preneurs. Right. I get it.
Yeah.
But really, in reality, the book is a concept, and it's not. I don't care what you're doing. This book is for you if you want to make money with.
Well,
the
right. Work. I mean, and really, when you say e-preneurs, it's like people who use the telephone, right? So it's like
yes, exactly.
Okay, yeah. You know, right? Maybe anybody. There are a few out there who don't, but you know, it's like pretty much everybody's going to be using the internet in one way, shape, or form in their business.
Yeah,
right?
Either that or they just couldn't fit entrepreneur on the cover.
Yeah, right.
I kind of like it. I get what it means.
Cool. Yeah,
I like it too. And it kind of fits because your eBay background, e-preneurs, yeah.
E-commerce.
Flows,
yes,
right,
yes. It
exactly.
flows off of that. So I like it. I'm good with it.
All right. So talk about, you know, mom and pop or regular people that have stores out there. They're struggling. They're trying to get more sales. Give us like your top three techniques. And one of them, you kind of said video, you know, talk. So give us another two.
Well, let's talk about video because a lot of people, I'm going to do the video one, but a lot of people don't like to be on camera. Mm-hmm. Okay. Even
if
you look at my video, the bandana one, I cut my head off because I didn't want to be seen at the time. Darn, if I would have done that, I would be a video star now. But the deal is you don't have to necessarily put yourself on the video. And in fact, if you're not comfortable and you're not engaging like that, you don't have to be that person. You can get somebody in your family, you know, that is camera friendly and not shy and can do that kind of talk. Let them do it. But you don't even have to do that. Create a actual slide presentation and add the verbiage to the slide presentation. Oh, you don't have a good voice? Oh, well, fantastic. There's this thing called Fiverr. And if you send it over there for $5, somebody with a radio voice will read your script. Yeah. You take that audio and those slides and you put them up as a video for, you know, five ways to do whatever it is that you're selling.
Right.
All right?
Right.
So that's one thing. The other thing is, like I said before, is, you know, answer your biggest questions that people have about doing business with you. And that's whether you're online or offline. So don't think this is just, you know, for people that have online businesses. If you're an offline business, there are questions. I don't care if you teach Pilates. There's five questions that people keep asking you as a Pilates instructor.
Right.
Make that video. Make that blog post, you know? And the thing I like, basically, is that for video, you can repurpose it. You can't repurpose other things as well as you can with a video.
Yeah.
Once you get a video, you can extrapolate the audio, and now you've got an MP3 that you can put up in some of the iTunes kind of things, sites and stuff like that. You can take that and become you can take the transcript, and now you got a blog post or a series of blog posts from it. So I really like that part about it. And then, of course, like I said, once you get the slides, you know, or if you did it with the audio and the video, you create a slideshow from that audio and video, and then you post that on SlideShare. Now you're spreading that one message to many, many platforms. And that's really how you start engaging with people that are interested in what you do. Because the deal is, you don't want to spray and pray.
Right, right.
You want to get the people that are very interested in what you do. It's a niche. And the closer you get in on the niche, the richer you'll get. So there's niche with the riches and niches.
Yeah.
That's what you want.
Yeah. That's what I'm hearing a lot about.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. What other tips besides video and you know, using that?
I mean,
social media. Let's talk about social
media.
Let's
talk about that. Let's talk. I mean, the thing is, let's talk about Facebook.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to overlook the biggest platform out there. And I was listening to a couple of people talking just recently, and they're, you know, this is the new thing, is Facebook dying?
Right.
You know? Well, you know, really? How can something with 1.3 billion people die? Well, it will die at some point.
Yeah.
You know, AOL did die.
Right. And so did MySpace.
But MySpace did die. But it's going to take a long time for this Titanic to sink.
That's right.
So don't get caught up in that hype. But realize that there's an open market there for you to reach. But here's the deal. I don't want you going out trying to find new customers. What I want you to do is start engaging with your current customers. The actual ability to use that platform to expand the experience of your current people, your fans, your friends, your neighbors, the people who have already spent money with you, bringing them back and getting deeper engagement is a fantastic opportunity. And once they see other people see you interacting with those people that you like, guess what? They want to be in that crew too. So I think that's one thing a lot of people miss is using, you know, your current mailing list and start getting people to actually come to your Facebook page because you've got things that they already have spent money with and they like you, and you're going to help them have a better experience with whatever it is that they bought from you.
And that probably holds true with all the social media, then.
All the same
strategy, right?
Absolutely. And that's one cool thing about the, you know, the concept of the book is, I don't care what platform, like you said, it's going to go out of style at some point.
Yeah.
But the concepts are what are the most important part. And commerce has been around. Look, I've been to some of the craziest third world countries, you know, in my travels. And no matter where you go, there's commerce.
Right.
And no matter where you go, there's always a central location, the marketplace, where people transact goods and services. And at that same place is the place where the coffee shop is, where people communicate with each other.
Right.
So social and commerce have always gone together. And so when you learn the process of how to use social for better interaction and sales, it'll work no matter what platform you choose. I don't care if it's Pinterest or Instagram or any of those, this will work for you.
Talk about building community around your brand.
Oh, man. You know, that, dude, the community, that is so fantastic. I'll give you one example of a client we had that is a shoe client. And basically, they like, you know, sell shoes. Big deal.
Okay.
But what I didn't realize, and you know, as you get in dealing with people, I didn't realize how much it's not just, you know, women like shoes. It's like they need it, like water. Some women. I'm not going to say all women. Yeah. They need it. It's like, oh, my God.
Some men, too.
Some men, because I, you know what? You're right. They need tennis shoes. I got some shoe heads, sneaker heads. Yeah. So, I mean, but the thing is, people are very passionate about shoes that are shoe lovers.
Yeah.
So what we told them to do is, like, let's get deeper. You already got your social game pretty nice and tight. But let's get deeper. Let's create a group on Facebook. So this is not a page. You already got the page.
Right.
We want to drive deeper into the niche, and we're going to create a group of females that like shoes, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this group is just for the females that buy the shoes from you, and they have to ask to join. So it's a private group. We make them actually asked to join, and it's totally private. It's not, and nobody else can see it. And now what we're going to do is, when the shoes get to you a week before they go on sale online, you're going to let the private group know about the shoes and give them a nice little discount.
Exclusivity.
Yes. It's been killing it.
Yeah.
When they release the shoes, they don't have any to sell because they've already been pre-sold
to their biggest consumers.
Yes. And the more that person, and then the thing is that we see the more that a person actually interacts with this private group, the more they seem to buy, the more they want to hear about it. Mm-hmm. And they're telling their friends, oh my God, you got to join in because we getting, you know, and it, that thing has been such a social spread for them. Right. And these are things you can do in any niche, any niche.
That's great.
So that's kind of cool.
Yeah, we were talking before the show about, yeah, building the community. We were talking about before the show, the things that gotten really crowded on the internet. And there's so much, it's hard to get the, see the forest for the trees. And I think that what you're saying here makes a lot of sense because you're basically giving people a natural place where they can see the value of the community without being bombarded by so much noise that they can't get to.
Right. And then you deal it on, and you give it to them on their time and their schedule.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, now I'm not forcing you to come right now, you know, but it comes in and you're checking it. Yeah. You're giving the people what they want. And they let you know what they want if you listen. The problem is most of us aren't listening. We're so busy tweeting out and pushing and pushing and pushing. We never listen to anything, you know? And I think one of the biggest lessons I do teach in the book, definitely. I got to keep going back. The book.
That's right.
But, you know, but one of the big lessons is the first lesson in there is about listening. If you listen well, then you can get all the information you're going to need to market well.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Yeah.
You, people want to sit around and, what should I talk about? Stop talking. Just listen.
Right.
Answer that question. Become that expert because you're giving out what they need.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll respond.
Interesting. I think the way the book is set up is brilliant in that you talk a lot about the concepts first. You get people grounded in the concepts before you start talking about tools. I mean, there's just a huge tendency now, I'm guessing that you're seeing with customers too, with your clients, with your social media clients, that they want to just jump in like, oh yeah, get me in Facebook, get me on Twitter, get me on here, there, without getting the concepts down first.
What? Yeah, absolutely. You want to get the concepts down, but honestly, you know, some things make you look smart, you know, but here's what really happened for, at least for the book. I said, let's get the concepts down because when I signed the contract to start writing this thing, it was 18 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the landscape has changed.
Yeah.
You know, the landscape is ever changing.
Right.
But I knew the principles and the concepts wouldn't change.
Yeah.
So that's why we put that right up front so you people could actually get all the meat first. You know, and then we'll put on the gravy, and that's the way it's set up, in the meat and the gravy.
Yeah.
You know?
So. Hey, I got to make a social media joke because for those of us in the business here, is that I noticed that one thing that doesn't change is Google Plus. It's always, it's still the next big thing.
Oh,
and it's been there for like, how long will it be the next big thing?
Yeah, right.
You know what? You know what? And that's a good point. Should you be on Google Plus?
Yeah, please answer that one first.
You should absolutely be on Google Plus, people.
Okay.
You know why? For an audience of one. Who is the one, though?
Yeah.
You? No.
Google.
Oh, yeah.
Google.
That's right.
Google listens to Google Plus. You want to rank well on Google?
Yeah.
Have some presence on Google Plus. Game over.
That's right.
That's all you need. Perfect. So that's one of the things is you don't have to spend a whole lot of time, but at least go out there and register your name and your brand and put up, you know, because if
something.
Put up something. Because if you realize, if you put your name of your business inside of a Google search and you've got a Google page and you have never been to it, Google creates a page for you and all people see is a big empty page.
That's right.
Yeah.
You might as well go out there and grab your name.
I'm still trying to figure out what all these circles mean. I just don't get it.
You know, it's just, I don't know.
But I'm putting Desiree's family. Desiree's family.
She's family. You know what? I got to the point where everybody's family now. I'm tired of putting them in different circles. Everybody's family.
Exactly.
You know, so yeah, I feel you on that, definitely.
Excellent.
So talk about the five-finger discount.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Now, that's another one of those things.
Right.
So that was the, remember, I said we had one thing and you know negotiate for the other.
Right.
It was actually the five fingers of death.
Oh.
So how to crush your competition and kill the competition. But anyway, so it came out that way. But basically, I got to remember the five fingers. I know it's horrible, man. You know, it's like CRM. one of the fingers.
Right.
SEO,
yes.
One of the fingers.
So it's your strategy,
it's
basically.
A strategy, but it's the five things that really allow you to make a difference using social media in ways that people didn't think about before. So like I said, for SEO, for me, when I was coming on the scene, my name is John Lawson. Well, you know, that is a very, very common name.
Yeah.
There was over 3 million
wow.
actual listings for John Lawson when I did a search on that. And I knew I would never get to the top.
Right.
I don't care how many radio shows and videos I made. It wasn't going to make it to the top.
Yeah.
So I came up with this, you know, moniker. I came up with Colder Ice, you know, and we could talk about that story in
yeah.
a minute.
But, yeah.
But I came up with Colder Ice. But what happened was is that as I pushed Colder Ice to the top, it dragged John Lawson with it.
Uh-huh.
So now John Lawson, when you put it in, I'm on the first page. Maybe once or twice.
Yeah.
Three times I have been at some point on the first page of over 3 million John Lawsons. But the reason I'm there is because of social media and Colder Ice.
Right.
So now every time Colder Ice is written about, it translates to John Lawson, who is it that
helps
Colder
your
Ice,
SEO.
And it moves my SEO up. So that's one of the ways you can do those kind of things.
So talk about Colder Ice, because how can ice be colder?
There's no such thing as colder ice. And
it's either frozen or not.
That's right. Exactly. All ice freezes at the exact same point.
Yeah.
But it is an old story. And, you know, we're down here in the South, and I'm African-American, and it's like an old tale. And basically, in the segregated South, there was a total different black economy. And I don't know if people really think about this, but when you can't do anything at the white place, then there's a whole business and the economy that was all black. Mm-hmm. They had black hotels, black restaurants, black bus companies, black taxi companies, everything, you know, because all the services that you couldn't do with others, you had to do with self. Well, the deal was when integration came, literally the black store owners would sit there and watch out their storefront window as people walked past their store to get downtown to shop at Macy's and Woolworth's, where they never were welcome before.
Right.
And so the black store owners, as they were going out of business, came up with this saying that, oh, the white man's ice must be colder.
Oh,
so
wow.
It's not really colder. It's the same ice,
yeah.
But it's just something new that they never had before.
Wow.
And so when I was coming on the scene, I was kind of like the only black guy in the room that was a technology guy.
Yeah.
So I was just like, hey, colder ice over here, you know.
Right.
So it's not really colder, but it's the same thing. Flipped it around.
Well, right, but it also kind of translates to what you're saying, which is make your brand colder ice.
That's
by using these strategies.
Absolutely, man. How are you going to beat one of the big boys? Colder ice.
That's right.
That's how you do it.
Yeah, exactly.
I like it a lot. I like it.
Cool. Oh, okay. That's a good story.
So social marketing, networking, social commerce. I mean, we've got social. Right. Let's talk about what that really means.
You know, I think people are at the point where they actually use these terms, you know, interchangeably, mm-hmm. as if they mean the same thing.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm doing social marketing and, you know, I'm going to use social media and blah, 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 blah. And they use it in the wrong terminology because they don't understand what it means because they get confused by the social part.
Yeah.
And so if you just literally strip off the common denominator, which is social, you get the understanding that social media is media, marketing is marketing, networking is networking, and commerce is commerce. And they're not even close to being the same thing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's what I think a lot of people have got to get a grasp on is just because you are using a platform like Facebook does not mean you're actually marketing. Just because you push something out there and says, hey, buy my stuff, that's not a great marketing strategy, you know? So that's one of the things we want to make sure people understand. Because if somebody is constantly trying to sell you something, And I remember this story a long time ago about the insurance salesman at the party. Nobody wants to hang out with the life insurance guy because as soon as you get up there, how many kids you got? Oh, five kids. Are you insured? You know, dude, I'm trying to get my buzz on. Yeah. I don't want to be talking about those kind of things. Yeah. But, I mean, once you become that person, everybody will avoid you at the party. Yeah. And that's what happens with a lot of people in social media. You have pushed your brand on your friends. Mm-hmm. These are people that were supposed to be your friends. And every day you're posting, you know, I got this on sale on eBay. Yeah. Guess what your friends are doing? They're totally tuning you out now.
Right.
They don't look at your thread. Every time you pop up, they're doing the Xbox so that they can get it removed because they know now to tune you out. And you don't want people to tune you out.
Especially your friends.
Especially your friends and family. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
You know, you got to do it at the right time.
How do you avoid that? Right. So what do you do?
Well, you use the 80-20 rule.
Yeah.
You know, 80% of the things that you put out there need to be helpful and not about you. Look, social media is never about you as a vendor. Mm-hmm. It's always about the hyperactive nature of people that are really kind of, you know, vain. It's kind of weird, but social media is allowed everybody. It's everybody's. It's an ego thing, right? So I remember for us when we first getting started on Twitter, it was about how many followers you got. Oh, you got that many followers? Yeah, I got that many.
How'd
followers.
You do that?
Right, exactly. So the deal is, how do I get more followers? It's simple. You follow more people.
Right.
See, it's not about asking people to follow you. It's about you following them, and in turn, they're going to follow you back. That's how you do it. But if you do it the other way around, you get on people's nerves.
Yeah.
You know, quit asking me to follow you on Twitter.
Right.
No, I'm going to follow you first and watch the reciprocation come back. Yeah. You know, little things like that. You got to be.
Yeah, I hear customers say, like, well, it's a good conversation around Twitter. Like, oh, you know, I'm concerned that I'm following too many people and not enough people are following, you know, me and these kinds of things. What's your take on that, John? I mean, do you feeling as if an inadequacy if you're the one following all the people and no one's following you. What would you tell a customer like that? Because I've got a customer who's saying that to me right now.
That they feel like they're following
too many.
Too many people.
Yeah,
How are you following too many people?
Well, because in comparison to the number of people that are following.
See, that's
them
the
back.
Thing, you know, stop comparing your size to everybody else's size. That's why you feel inferior. You know? If you live in your own world with your own sizing, then you're really feeling good about yourself.
Yeah, I like me, right?
Yeah, I like me. But I mean, for us as business owners, I don't think that we as business owners can have too many followers or followings.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because the following for us doesn't cost us anything.
Right. No.
And everything we get from that, we gain. It's anything we get from that is a gain.
Yeah.
You know? So, I mean, I wouldn't be concerned. I remember a long time back, too, a lot of the people that wanted to be, and this is one of the things, I got a problem with clout a lot of times. You know, because clout will rank people based on how many followers you have versus the number of people you follow back. Mm-hmm. And if it's a 50-50 and as it goes down lower and lower on one side or the other, they weigh your score, you know. But I really believe that you lead the following better than follow the other people that follow you first because we are business owners.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm out there always fishing and the more fish I can reel in, the better. So I don't really subscribe to the thought that you can have too many people that you follow.
Yeah, and it's a quality issue. That's what I think, too. I mean, would you agree with that? It's like there are a lot of people on Twitter that really you don't want to follow. Like somebody the other day, I just got one with this woman, and I always look at people who are following me like, do I want to follow this person back? This woman was, you know, begging. She was in London. She's like, I'm trying to get 400 followers by the 4th of July or something like to that. In effect, I'm like, you know what? I just can't follow this person back because it's all, for her, it's only about me being a number for her. I'm never going to. And then I looked at her tweets and there was nothing interesting.
Nothing
interesting. Like, please follow me. That's all she ever tweets about.
I mean, you know, and another thing is Twitter has lists.
Yeah.
You know, Twitter has their lists, so you can actually use your list to segment your audience so that you can make sure you're listening to the people you want to listen to or check that feed. So use that as a business owner. I would definitely do that, you know. But other than that, here's another thing I like, you know. I was in Vegas, and they had this club we were going to, And I don't do lines. I'm not going to wait in anybody's line. I'm just not. Not for a club. I'm too old for that crap. But we drive up to the club, and the line is literally around the corner. I'm like, this place is bumping. Yeah. You know? Like I said, I don't do lines. So I was VIP this night with a friend of mine. I'm walking in. Get in there, VIP, man. I'm ready to party. We get in this three-level club, and the place is freaking empty.
I was going to say, they're all in line.
Exactly. Why are they in line?
Oh, my gosh.
Because for that club,
yeah.
If there's nobody standing in front of that club,
right.
Nobody's going to go into the club.
Wow.
If there's a club, one has a line, the other one is totally empty, people don't go to the one that's empty out front. They go to the one with the line. We better stand. This is where the party's at.
Yeah, right.
So that's another thing you got to think about, too. Just having all those people that you're following, people are going to want to come to your club just because you got a bigger follow.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? So there's benefits.
Right.
Yeah, for sure.
Benefits.
All right, so let's talk about negative feedback on a product online. I know you talk about this, and you actually say that 100% approval rating is not a good thing. You want to have less than that.
Well, you know
what?
Okay, I agree.
Because you want to be real, right?
You want to be real.
Okay.
You know? I mean, do you know how many days are in a year? How many?
365.
No, there's 365 and a third days in a year. That's why we have leap year every 4 years.
It.
Right?
Yep.
Nothing is perfect.
Right?
Nothing. The earth wobbles when it goes around and around.
Right.
Nothing is perfect. This table we're sitting at is actually moving.
Yep.
You just can't see it because
right.
it moves so slow.
Uh-huh.
But it's moving too. Nothing that we think is real is not. It's just not real.
Right.
My mother, who's I actually came out of her womb, a womb. She's not 100% happy with me.
Yeah.
So it doesn't look really authentic to me.
Yeah.
When I see a person that's got 100% all positive feedback.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, I believe it was not Best Buy, Circuit City got in trouble for leaving off the negative feedbacks on their product ratings back in the day because people realize, hey, everybody likes this product. There's no way. So the deal is Amazon. If you look on Amazon, they're just genius a lot of times with the things that they do.
Yeah.
And you look on an Amazon page, and they have taken it to a whole new level. They have both the negative and the positive most reviewed right there at the top.
Yeah, exactly.
Right there at the top.
Yeah.
Because people are not stupid.
Right.
They're
going to
make their determination and their decision. If you got all positive feedback, they're going to ask somebody, what's wrong with this? Because I know there got to be something wrong with that. You know?
Yeah, so why not give it to them?
Right. So don't freak out. I know people that lose their hair and their children can't eat because they think that have somebody left them a negative feedback. Please.
Yeah.
That negative feedback actually add validity to your feedback. Backstream. Don't freak out. Now, if you got a whole lot of them, guess what? You got an issue that you need to address. So negative feedback is where you're actually going to get the information you need to better your business. Somebody telling you how much they like you will never make you better.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah.
All they would do is just stagnate you and make you think your, you know, stuff don't stink. So embrace that.
Yeah.
Embrace that negative feedback a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so new e-preneurs, new to the social commerce platform, what would you tell them?
I tell them to go out there and start listening.
Okay.
Know what your keywords are. Now, hopefully you know what your keywords are for, you know, the things you sell. Start putting those keywords into the search. Put them in Google search, Google Alerts. Get some of those so when people talk about your brand or your business, you're being alerted. And then the other thing is start putting those keywords in as a hashtag search on Twitter and Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And just see what the conversation is.
Yeah.
And then the next thing you want to do is once you see what the conversation kind of is, see where they're hanging out. I mean, there's a lot of people that have found a greater conversation is happening on Pinterest around photos than it is maybe on a Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're seeing where they're hanging out, and that's how you can determine where you're going to maybe, you know, target first. Facebook, just because it's got all the people doesn't necessarily mean it's got all your people there, and that's not where they're talking about. For me, like I said, I do shoelaces now, and I found so many sneakerhead old school chat rooms. that I found literally from doing a Google search on my keyword. Yeah. And I start sitting in there and listening, seeing what the questions are, what the concerns are. When I want to write a blog post that's relevant to that community, mm-hmm. I find the questions they're asking, and that becomes my, yeah, my blog post.
Perfect.
So, I mean, that's how you use this thing. Don't be so fast to talk. Listen, because that's going to give you the opportunity. Look, if the lights are out and you can't see anything, you're going to start listening to see where to go or where not to go.
Yeah.
And that's what you want to do with this, because you're totally blind right now.
It's a great analogy.
It is. That was pretty good.
That was very good. Write that down. Next book.
That's
if the
cool.
lights go out,
yeah.
whatever. All right. So eBay, let's, you know, we got to ask this question. Is it dying?
eBay, is it dying? Again, that's another one of those Titanic stories.
Yeah.
You know, eBay is not dying. Mm-hmm. eBay is vibrant and alive. It's, you know what? It's hard to be number one.
Yeah.
It really is hard to be number one, because you go to number two and all of a sudden you're not as good as you used to be. You know, I mean,
right.
Michael Jordan goes to the Wizards and all of a sudden, he's washed up. Well, yeah, he was washed up. But still, I mean, the thing is, I mean, you know, with what's going on with eBay, though, is they have gone through a big transition,
mm-hmm.
because they waited a little long to transition that platform to what the new consumer, the educated consumer, was looking for, and Amazon was right on point every step of the way.
Yeah.
So eBay did have to do a lot of catch up. They had to kind of remove some of the old flea market feel of the platform.
Right. Even the icons changed.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Exactly.
So they're still in a rebranding. And if any of you ever tried to rebrand anything, I know you've done rebrands on stores. It's a long process, and you do lose some of that sheen, you know, while you're going through it. But they're going through, they're doing fine in terms of, you know, the stock is doing fine, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they made it through what was a really hard time, because they were already in a bad state, and then the economy fell apart.
Right.
And they stayed the course. So we see eBay as a very good marketing channel. It's still a good place to list your products. I mean, you're only going to pay when you play, you know, so if they don't buy, you're not really spending a whole lot to be on the marketing platform. But yeah, Amazon for us is really like the mainstay and the focus right now. And of course, that can shift at any time.
Okay, so I've got another question. I could talk to you all day, but
I have all day.
I know.
Are you trying to sell something on eBay, Jessica?
No, not yet.
Maybe
Facebook. Yes. Ads. Let's talk about Facebook ads. That's hot. I mean,
it's
still cheap. It's still, you know, reasonable.
Yes.
Let's talk about the ads.
Yeah, I mean, and the cool thing about Facebook is they give you so many different places that you can advertise. And it's funny, I've been doing, you know, the regular Facebook page ads.
Mm-hmm.
But yesterday, I actually did a promote on my own personal feed.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really shocked at how many people responded to that. You know, of course, it was something personal. It was about the book itself.
Right.
I wouldn't put my, you know, other things. So, I mean, the thing is again, it's a pay-to-play kind of thing. And the one thing I tell people is before you start spending your money, understand the analytics. Understand how you use that to measure if you're actually successful.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to be wildly successful. If I spend a dollar and it makes me a dollar, guess how many dollars I'm going to spend? As much as I want to, as much as I can. Because once I get to a 101, for every dollar I spend, hey, I'll spend millions to make a penny.
Right.
I would.
Yeah.
I don't know how many is a million pennies, but it's enough for me to pay my house note that month.
Sure.
You know? So the deal is really make sure you get out there and try it.
Yeah.
Play around with it. And the other thing is, guys, Facebook and most of these platforms give you fantastic training. Fantastic training.
I like that.
Stop trying to learn from knuckleheads.
Go to
serious.
The people who own the tool.
Yeah. Just I mean, you sit there all day long watching these, you know, webinars from these knuckleheads that are really trying to just sell you a $6,000 package deal.
Let us do it for you.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah.
You know, they make it, that's what they do. They make it seem so amazingly hard that we need to do it for you.
Right.
Here's the close. But I mean, if you look, in the help pages of Facebook. Mm-hmm. They've got webinars, professional trainers that will show you exactly how to use that platform to do at least to get started.
Right.
So you know enough to be dangerous. And you can really do that if you're a small mom and pop and do it with a very low cost because you're able to test for nickels and pennies. You really are. You're able to test it. So that's kind of cool.
No, that's great. Great advice.
Yeah. Oh, is it? Okay, cool.
No, it is. You hear a lot of people who are saying, well, I don't know if I want to get involved with, like, what's it take to get a Facebook ad out there? What's it take to advertise on LinkedIn, you know? It doesn't take much. Is what you're saying.
I mean, literally, I mean, $100 budget. I mean, I can do a whole lot with $100 testing all those platforms at the same time.
And that's the other piece of advice is that it's not that expensive or doesn't have to be, at least out of the gate.
No, not out of the gate. You're looking for a result right now. That's what we're looking for. You go out there, you'll spend a little looking for that result. Once you find something that works, that's when you blow it up. All right? I remember, and I'll tell people like this, I got this skill really from AdWords. All right. AdWords, everybody would go out there and they would start and they would, man, I spent hundreds of dollars of people clicking on my stuff. I was like, you know what your problem was? You should have tested that over on Bing.
Yeah.
See, because Bing is cheap. Yeah. Darn near, right? Yeah. Yeah. It's cheaper on Bing. The traffic is lower and you'll get the clicks. Once you find the one that works, now you take the ones that work and move that over to the big platform.
Yeah.
So that's what you want to do. Test first.
Right.
ABT, always be testing.
That's great. Yay. All right, so where can we find you in the next few? Are you speaking anywhere in Atlanta soon?
In Atlanta?
Yeah?
You know what? In March, April, May.
Yeah.
All right, May. Is it May 16th and 17th? Mm-hmm. We're doing a workshop here in Atlanta down by the airport. I have to give you more information on that. But it's going to be called Kick-Ass Business Essentials, and I will definitely make sure I get you guys over as soon as we get the page up and ready to go.
Would love that.
This week I'm going to San Diego. Mm-hmm. I'll be at, what is it called? MivaCon.
Mm-hmm.
MivaCon. We'll be doing that. We talked about Infusionsoft. I'm going to probably go over there. I don't get to speak there, but I get to hang out with all the great people that are there.
Yeah. Soak up the knowledge.
Yeah. And then there's an ASD show in 2 weeks in Vegas. I'll be speaking there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm all over the place, folks. Just look for Colder Ice. Exactly. One word.
Yep.
Just put it in Google.
Yep.
And you'll find me.
Find the real Colder Ice.
The real Colder Ice. Yeah. That's right, man. And, of course, you know, the book is available if you want a signed copy. Okay? I didn't tell you all that. I forgot to tell you all
this. Okay.
You can get a signed copy on eBay right now.
I was going to say, you better say eBay.
I'm going to say eBay, right? Of course, Amazon has it, too. All the bookstores. Right. It should be in the bookstores as of today because today was the release date.
Okay.
But if you want a signed copy, you can go to this link. It's bit.ly, bit.ly/kickasssocialbook. All right? Kick-ass social book. That's a bit.ly link. Kick-ass social book. And it's available for you, and I'm going to sign it for you. And 10% of those proceeds will go to St. Jude's Children's Hospital Research. And I think it's kind of cool, so please do that right now. No,
awesome.
No, go. No, wait, wait, wait.
What?
Give them a chance.
Okay, do it. Yeah. Okay. Now they're on the page.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for being with us today, John. It was a pleasure.
I appreciate really it. Anytime. It. Anytime.
All right. This is Sandra Bean and Desiree Scales.
For High Velocity Business Radio X.
There you go. Have a great week.
Always throwing something new at me.
I love it.